Hi guys, it's Simple J Assistant here with another episode for you guys. I'm hoping everyone's doing great. As I always tell you guys, you need to feed that positive side of you. So positivity out equals positivity in. Feed that. It's very well needed, especially in this time. It is so important for you to think positive, be positive, as you will always garner and gauge and get in return positive results. Today, I just want to discuss a very heavy topic, and this topic was prompted because I just finished reading a book. It's called My Dark Vanessa by Kate Elizabeth Russell. It's available on Audible, or you guys can look it up. It's on Amazon if you guys want to purchase, or other places, Goodreads. It's a very dark, twisted, disturbing book. It's about a 15-year-old girl who attends boarding school. And she becomes infatuated with her professor, who's 42. And already we're seeing issues here. But then it carries on whereby they develop a relationship, which she romanticizes up until when she's in her early 30s. And she thinks she's special because he really cared for her and he didn't force himself onto her. But what she failed to realize is that his subtle way of handling her and saying certain things to her and being nice to her and being gentle with her is a form of sexual assault, because she was underage and he groomed her essentially. And why I wanted to talk about is that this is something that's happening prevalently within our society. There are older men and older women. Let's not think this is just a one-sided thing that only men are doing this. There are older men and older women who are preying on younger females and younger males based on maybe these people have self-esteem issues, their confidence is lacking, maybe body issues, maybe they have some issues with self-hate, they're very self-deprecating, they really speak down on themselves a ton, and here comes this person who's speaking wonderful stuff to them and making them feel extremely confident, making them feel wanted, making them feel needed, improving their confidence. And little by little, they're grooming them and saying subtle things to get them to just open up to them and ultimately get what they want from them. And what they want from them sometimes is basically to sleep with these people. They're not out for any other agenda, just to be fascinated by you and to sleep with you. And then in the end, that younger person suffers because they don't realize that they're being preyed on. It not just happens in that dynamic. It also happens when men prey on women in the workplace because they feel like, okay, they want to excel and they want to grow within the business, or they also want to step up and get promoted. So they do this thing where they're like, well, if you want to, you know, get to the next level, you have to make certain concessions, or you have to do this thing in order to get to the top. And because that person is so desperate because maybe of their family life or their economic situation, and because they see no way out, they fall prey, they fall victim to these things. And it's sad that we see this happening over and over in different aspects, in different areas of life. And I feel as though, even though the Me Too movement has really highlighted these things and brought some of these people to the forefront, and now these people are out there laying bare, and now some of them are being given the opportunity to atone for their sins, we're still not progressing, or we're still not doing enough to protect those vulnerable within our society. There's still people who still find a way, little nuances, little places, little pockets that they can go in order to still be able to prey on folks. Sex trafficking is something that is widely done all over the world, and I feel like there's no handle on it, because you can stop one pocket here in one country and then it grows bigger exponentially in another country. So we need to find ways and solutions to address these issues. And we also need to not victim blame or blame the individual who has suffered and who needs to now heal. Because in doing that, you're delaying their healing. Not only are you delaying their healing, you're also prolonging their suffering. You're letting them feel as if what happened to them, they deserve. That it's something that they should not feel like they're special because it happens to other people. And that's not fair. That's not right. And it's not morally the best thing to do. We need to understand that there needs to be more emphasis of conversation in the home, whereby if you see something change within your teenager, be it a boy or a girl, you need to address this. You need to have open dialogue with your kids. Because I feel as though one step, this is not an end-all be-all for everything, but one solution is that if you have open dialogue with your kids, they will not feel as if they can't come to you if something happens to them, if somebody approaches them with any kind of inappropriate behavior or inappropriate conversation. And it's going to be hard to have these conversations, but these are well needed conversations in this time that we're living in, where there's all these different things that can happen in terms of sex trafficking, in terms of predatory people, be it an older male, an older female. And if this person is lacking education, or if this person is lacking financial stability, they will fall prey to anything. They are like the lamb to the slaughter. It will be easy for them to fall into that trap. I'm saying there should be discussion in the home, but we also need to understand that there's not always a father-mother unit in the home. Maybe it's only the mother. Maybe it's only the father. And it might be tough to have these conversations. But then there's an extended family. There is a grandmother. There is an uncle. There is a brother. Maybe there's somebody you can go to. So what I'm saying is, yes, there might be some insufficiencies in terms of the family structure, but there will always be someone that you can turn to if something like this is being thrusted upon you in some sort. My worry is that we're not addressing these issues enough. So what you will find is that folks feel like they have no avenues to turn to. The Me Too movement is great, and it has done what it needed to do to flush out all these predatory behavior and practices. But also, there's another side of it, that in doing that, some people might misconstrue and might throw everyone on the same lump and the same broad spectrum of them being predators, when maybe they really aren't. So it's important to understand what predatory behavior looks like, what predatory advances look like, because some of these folks approach people in subtle ways. They're strategic. They start off small. They start off complimenting. And and they start off taking interest in what you take interest in, so you guys have now a common interest. So now, once they've engaged you, then everything builds. And in doing these things, they are building up your confidence. So now, you may have been shy and reserved before. Now, you're more of an extrovert. Now, you're more open to dialogue. You're more receptive to our certain things. So now that subtle hints and those subtle words and those subtle compliments start growing into something bigger and bigger and bigger, until without you realizing it, you have fallen prey to a predator who has manipulated you into thinking that you are being catered to, being appreciated, being loved, being showered, being nurtured. But basically what you're being and what ultimately happens is that you're being abused. Not forcefully, not voluntarily, but involuntarily. So there needs to be dialogue, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the school where we have our counselors explaining what's acceptable and not acceptable behavior. However you get it, it's a start. And we need to also place a huge emphasis in the workplace that kind of predatory behavior where you feel as though, because you're in a position of power, you get to dictate or you get to basically malign someone or attack someone in a manner in which they feel like they don't have no recourse, but to fall victim to your subtle but overtly obvious abuse to get what you want, because they're not getting anything out of this deal. Let's be very clear. Someone who's been sexually harassed, sexually abused, violated, doesn't get anything out of that whole deal experience. The predator who initiates everything is the one getting ultimately what they want. That person who ultimately becomes the victim gets nothing but scars, trauma, hurt, that now will need therapy, time, and work to heal and mend. They probably become broken. And as I've told you guys in other podcast episodes, that broken people who are hurt end up continuing the cycle of hurting others, and then that hurt continues to be passed around, all around, like a blunt in a circle. So you're hurt, I'm gonna hurt you, and then this one gets hurt and that one gets, so it's a vicious cycle that never ends. We need to be able to also to spot the signs of someone who's been sexually harassed, sexually abused, violated. If you're used to someone who's always constantly just up, their personality is bubbly, sunshine, rainbows, all that, and now all of a sudden it's a little different, and they're constantly telling you that there's an issue with that one person at work or in the home or at school, maybe it's time for you to maybe look into what the issue is with that one person. It may not be one of sexual abuse or harassment. Maybe it's something else. But does it hurt to even investigate? Does it hurt to really question what the issue is? And another thing, a lot of people don't see certain things as sexual harassment or abuse or being violated. I'm here to clear things up for you guys right now. Let's be very clear, folks. If you're walking down the street and someone smacks you on the butt, you are being sexually harassed. If you are groped inappropriately, anywhere, maybe at work, maybe at the gym, maybe at a bar, maybe outside, wherever. If you're groped, someone grabs your boobs, someone grabs your genitalia, someone grabs your butt, you're being sexually harassed. That is not acceptable. Sexual abuse comes in different forms. You can be forcibly sexually abused, which is rape, where someone forces themselves on you and violates you, maybe without a weapon or with a weapon. Sexual abuse also comes when you are a younger person. You're under the age of consent and you're preyed on by someone who's older. And even though they didn't forcefully put themselves on you or force you to have sex with them, you were sexually abused because you weren't of the age of consent, where you understood that consent is me being able to understand what is happening fully and understanding the ramifications of what's happening. So if I'm 14 and a man who's 32, 35, 37, subtly over a period of time, oh, you're cute, you're beautiful, do you know your hair is just like sunshine, it's just like cinnamon and all that wonderful stuff, just to build your confidence. He is slowly but surely, over a period of time, taking interest in you. He is slowly but surely grooming you. So he is not forcibly getting what he wants, but by doing these small things, little by little, he is getting you to that point where he's going to have sex with you, which legally, by law, is constituted, well, is considered in some states, statutory rape. You can go to prison for sleeping with somebody who's underage. Whether you thought you gave consent in some form or another, if you're under the legal age, it's not acceptable. I know some of you guys think, oh, I'm not attracted to boys my age, I like older men. That's cute. That sounds cute, but you have not fully developed yet to understand what comes with that, dating someone older. They have matured enough to understand the words, the things to say, the things to do, how to lure you in. You are not mature enough to understand how to counter that, how to handle that, how to maneuver that. So it's important for us to understand that sexual assault can be forcibly done or can be subtly done in a way that it comes off as if it's not sexual assault. That's why I always stress having dialogue. If you don't feel comfortable having dialogues with your parents, you must have a trusted older person that you can go to and say, hey, this is something that was brought to mind. What do you think about this? I don't feel comfortable, or I'm not sure. Is this something that is acceptable? Dialogue is important. I hate when parents say they don't feel like they should be having certain conversations with their kids because they're not of age. Stop playing that game. Kids are maturing faster now. Kids are seeing different things on TV, on YouTube, on Amazon Prime, on Netflix, at an alarming rate than when we were younger. So now they're more hip and wise and up on certain things. So now you need to have these dialogues, these conversations earlier, so you can equip them and gear them and steer them in the direction away from things like this happening to them. Some do fall through the cracks. You might have had the conversation with them, but it still does happen. And in that respect, it's important not, and I'm going to say this again, not to blame the person. There's always this conversation going around that if a woman or a girl dresses in a certain way, then she's inviting someone to do certain things to her because it's as if she's advertising her wares. Let's be very clear on this. A woman should feel comfortable to dress in whatever she wants to dress in without feeling like she is going to be assaulted or harassed at the end of the night or at the end of the day or whatever time it is she decides to wear that. Just like a man should feel comfortable wearing what he wants to wear and not feel like he should be harassed or abused. There's no room for that. We need to get out of that mindset. We need to change that thinking. That is the type of thinking that has people out here literally scared to wear and be comfortable in their skin or to even go out after certain times fearing that if they wear this, this could happen or this is a possibility or I could get my feelings hurt or someone could literally physically hurt me or violate me. There are lots of resources out there, but and I need people to also understand that somebody who's been violated, somebody who's been sexually abused or harassed, sometimes feels embarrassed. And even though there are resources that they can go to and get the help and the healing they need, they tend to blame themselves. Maybe if I didn't dress like this. Maybe if I was a different type of person. Maybe if my confidence was a little bit higher, this wouldn't have. No. We need to get out of that space, that thinking, that whole idea that anything like that that happens is our fault. No. Since the dawn of time, there have been predators. There were predators in the Bible, and there are predators now. There will be predators after we all leave this earth. What we can cut down on is making sure that we equip everyone, whether it be the underage girl or the underage boy, or the vulnerable woman or the vulnerable man, equip them with the tools necessary to protect themselves. We need to now not only protect our vulnerable, but also when they come to us, don't discredit them. Believe them. If they tell you they've been harassed, they've been violated, understand what that entails. Because the healing process is different for everyone. Some people, it doesn't take that long for them to heal and grow from that. And they're able to live fulfilling lives. Some, they can't. And it's a constant reminder. And it's in the back of their minds, but it's there. And they are a shell of their former selves. So they can't cope. They can't function. And you're looking at them thinking, why are they so quick to anger? Why can't they just have a simple conversation and it not be a shouting back and forth, a disagreement? Why did they always have to be so loud? That's their way of gaining their power back. That's their way of feeling like they're now in control because they lost that control when they were abused and violated. So now this is their way of gaining control. This is their way of saying, yes, I'm taking back control because I lost that. Because when somebody's violated or sexually abused, they feel as though they've lost that power. They feel as though they've lost that control. That person who perpetrated that on them took that from them. So if you see a change in attitude or a change in mood in this person, that's their way of not only dealing with it, but gaining back their control. Gaining back which was lost from them. And they probably will never gain it back. Let's be clear on that. But understand that there's a process for everyone. Everybody heals different. It might take a short time for one and a longer time for one. But we should never, ever, ever blame somebody who's a victim of this type of aggression, of this type of behavior. Unfortunately, these things have been happening since the dawn of time, and they probably will happen even after we leave. But we need to now find ways to curb them. We need to now find ways to protect ourselves or vulnerable ones or loved ones. We need to now find ways of issuing harsher punishment for those who are perpetrating these crimes. I call them atrocities because crimes just sound so simple and sound as though it's not serious. So these atrocities, there needs to be harsher punishment. There needs to be examples made of these individuals so they understand that what they're doing is not only not acceptable, but it's causing hurt that will be carried on for generations to come. You know how they tell you there's a generational curse? When you're violated or you are assaulted, this is hurt that will just pass on and pass on if it's not dealt with effectively, maybe by finding effective healing in therapy or other means, because therapy for some people is just a no-no. They just don't see it. It's just not going to work. I'm a fan of therapy. I have advocated for it. I think it works. I really do think a lot of people would benefit from it. I really do think we should take the stigma out of what therapy is and be more open to it. Be more understanding of what it entails and what it can do for you and your healing process. So I want us to understand that moving forward, we do not blame victims of sexual harassment and sexual abuse. Sexual harassment includes, folks, groping, slapping someone on the butt, touching inappropriately someone who you know nothing about and was never given consent to touch. Sexual harassment involves the being given consent. If you were not given consent to touch me and you touched me inappropriately, you harassed me. Being in my space and doing things that are inappropriate is sexual harassment. Saying sexually suggestive things in a workplace or outside, wherever, that's also harassment. Because I never initiated that conversation with you. I never invited you to that conversation. We never had that conversation before. I don't know you. You don't know me. You should not be having that conversation with me. You have now harassed me. Sending me explicit photos without me asking for it, without us having that kind of relationship, that's also harassment. There needs to be dialogue. And we need to protect our vulnerable and have conversations and have the talk, the sex talk, the what's appropriate and inappropriate talk. It's important to have these talks with our kids. I know people say, oh, we shouldn't have these talks with our kids until the... No. Kids are seeing things now. So it's important to start having these conversations. Kids are smart. So conversations like these need to be had and need to be had constantly, repeatedly. So it sticks in their brains and they understand what's acceptable and what's not. You need to arm them with the truth so they know what to look for when they're going out into the world. We are not preparing our babies for the world. And if we don't prepare them for the world, we are leaving them vulnerable and prey for anything. Especially the world we live in now. They need to be armed with the necessary tools to survive and to maneuver. It's very important. This is a heavy topic, and there are different resources you guys can go and get more information on this. You guys are good with the Googles, so Google. Google is your friend. If you have been a victim of sexual harassment or sexual abuse, My advice to you is to, if you have not healed, therapy is a good source of healing. I would advise you to heal and work on getting to that healing place. And don't rush your process. Everybody's process is different. Don't feel like because one person, it took like a year, it's going to take you a year. Everybody's process is different. Take your time to heal and grow from this. And if you're struggling, get the necessary help needed to get you on the path of healing and reconciliation. And ultimately, a better you. It's very important. You owe yourself that much. And there are, as I said before, there are many resources. So get familiar with them and get all the necessary tools you need for that healing. You deserve it. It's your right to be in a happy, healthy place. Very important. I want to thank you guys so much for supporting my little Engine That Could podcast. I love each and every one of you guys. I really, really do appreciate all the support. Truly do. And I just want to say, as I always tell you guys, to be you and live by your own rules. Bye, guys.